Access number 12893, Reel 1.
Air Vice Marshal Ubi, Reel 1. Whereabouts were you born, please?
I was born in London. In fact, I was a Cockney in hearing of Bow Bells.
What did your father do for a living?
Well, he was in Billingsgate. He had a business in the fish market. And I was born in Rotherhithe, which is the other side of the river, upriver a bit.
Did you go to school in London?
Yes, I did. My first school was a church school. I think it was called St. Stephen's. Very elementary.
How old were you when you finished your schooling?
Well, now, my real schooling finished in about 1916, about 1920.
What did you do on leaving?
Well, up to that stage, I'd really done no work, but I went to Canada when I was about 16. There was a scheme afoot that I think one could get to Canada for nothing, because they wanted a labour force, you see. And so I went.
What did you do there?
Ah, yes. There's bags of work to do, but it's very hard work, of course. The initial aim of the whole scheme was to get a labour force for the harvest, the wheat harvest. And of course it was just after the Russian Revolution, and the place was crowded with Russians and Ukrainians that were looking for somewhere else to live rather than back home. And their absolute object in life was to make a living, and they didn't mind what it was and what work it was. But I went out west on the Canadian Pacific Railway, helping to build it by hand. Bloody hard work. Very heavy work, because there were no mechanical aids whatsoever. And handling railway lines, the T's that went with them, about 10 or 12 of us lifting a rail, which they weighed about 3/4 of a ton. And the tongs with which one picked them up, they themselves weighed about 50 hundredweight. We used to get them in position, and then they were tied, when I say tied down, they were put in position against a gauge, which took about, depending on how hard the sleepers or the ties were, the timber ties, they could be bloody hard, but a 10-pound maul, that was the hammer. It might take 12 blows with it to get the tires pinched down.
So how did you decide to come to join the Air Force?
Ah, well, after a few years at this game, I was stationed at a place called south of Moose Jaw, and on the line between Assiniboia and Weyburn, which was the station into the States. And the boss of the area, Western Lines, came up to me one day and he said, "Yubi, I reckon you learned to lay steel the hard way." And I had to agree, because it was bloody hard. He said, "Would you like a job on the staff?" I hadn't the faintest idea that was, but it must have been something to do with construction. So I said, "Yes." He said, "The big advantage of being on the staff, if you ever want to go back to England on leave or anything, provided you travel first class on one of our boats, there it is for you to take on." So I said, "Fine." Right, well, I did that eventually when I decided to come back. Nice, comfortable trip on the SS Metagama. I got to London, and I had quite a few dollars, but I had no idea the spending rate in London, particularly with dollars, was pretty high. And of course, I was reduced to nothing quite quickly. And I had to look for a job. Well, that wasn't too difficult. I had acquired quite a North American accent. And I went to Roots Limited, motor people, who had a showroom in Piccadilly on the corner of Berkeley Street, I think it was. And I think it was my accent that encouraged them to give me a job, because they were sort of boosting their overseas markets, particularly the American side. And so I got a job there. It was very comfortable, very nice. They had lovely motor cars. And there was an amusing accent concerned with that, because I had to go and collect a bloody nice Bentley chassis. Okay, yes. I had to collect a Bentley chassis, number WB, I think it was 456, from the works just north of London. And I got it back to, by this time we were in very fine showrooms on the corner of Piccadilly and Berkeley Street. And this was being bought, and we had to get a body on it, by an actress. A Weyman body, damn nice. So I took the chassis down to Chiswick or somewhere where the works were and left it there. And then I had to go down there every once in a while to check up on the progress, you see. And I got very attached to it. And the finished product was quite magnificent. And I collected it and took it back to the showrooms, where it was in a place of honor. The people queued up to look through the window at it. It really was magnificent. Well, now, the head salesman there was a stupid old bugger, I thought. He'd been in the army during the war, but retired, and he still called himself a colonel. And I was standing there in the showrooms, and this lady, a girl called, of course, a girl called, she was very popular in those days. She had a husky sort of voice. And I was talking to her, and we were both admiring the car. And I left her an old White, this fellow's name was. he came over to me and said, Yubi, I think you find it I think you find it worthwhile to address me as Sir. Of course, a roughneck like me in those days, who never said Sir to anyone, I could think of nothing to say to him except I said balls, you see, like that. And that finished that little episode.
What did he mean by that?
Inviting him to go to hell.
No, but what did he mean by, say, call me sir?
Oh, I don't know. So he thought he was superior. So, well, that was then. It didn't affect my position with Roots Limited. So I said to this Florence Desmond, I think it was, very popular actress. I said, well, look, you'd like to have a ride in this lovely car, wouldn't you? She said, yes. She said, my chauffeur isn't here, but I'd like a ride in it, and you can take him sometime. So I drove around the park a couple of times in his car and took it back to the showroom. So when the chauffeur came along in a couple of days, I took him for a ride. And then I thought, well, I can't do this forever. And I saw an advert in the newspapers, Short Service Commission. So I went up to the Air Ministry in Holborn, it was then, and had a quick medical there. They said I was all right. Well, I was quite fit because this exercise in Canada had kept me pretty bloody fit. And then I had to go again, and they said, okay, you're all right. And I was posted to 4FTS in Egypt, which was a flying training school. I went there, we learned to fly on Avro 504K, and that was the training machine of the time.
We're in the late 20s now, I think we should say, because your short service commission
was 1927. Yes, that's right, 1926 it was. The 504K was a little two-seater with a rotary engine. It's just the airplane for the job, because you had to. You got fined if you buggered around. I mean, if you blipped the engine coming in to keep it running, the instructor would make a note and you were fined. I think it was either 5 or 10 piastres. But they're good training airplanes. And I think in the second term, we modernized, went up from the K to the L. And that had a static engine, a Lynx, I think, something of that order. Pity I haven't got my log books because I've got notes in there. And they were much more favourable because they ticked over, you see. Stand and not a rotary engine, but a radial engine. And I finished my training on them. Then I was, at the end of that, I was posted to Hinadi in Iraq, to 70 Squadron, which was a bomber transport with they had two Napier Lion engines. And I was there for 4 years. The first big operation was the evacuation of Kabul.
Were you on that?
Yes. It was quite a trip because we had to fly down the Gulf to Karachi and then turn north up to the northwest frontier, where we were posted to Rizalpur and Peshawar, where the aeroplanes were to be based, and did this job evacuating the people from Kabul, women rather.
What kind of planes were you using?
Well, they were these Victorias. And we did that, and...
Was there anybody trying to interfere with the evacuation?
No. No, it was a little bit tense on the airfield because they thought someone might want to sabotage the airplanes, you see.
How many of the women were there?
Oh, I suppose. There's something about the emancipation of women. I never found out what the word meant. But however, they were all right.
So they were Afghani women?
No, English women. Yeah. They all came back. And we got them as far as Delhi. What happened after that, I expect they got home in some way.
So it really went smoothly?
What?
It really went smoothly?
Yeah.
Without a hitch?
Yeah. Oh, yes, there's no problem. We had one aeroplane lost. When it went, force landed in the on the Kabul plain, short of Kabul. And I don't think we ever recovered it.
Which year was it, do you know? About 1930?
It's before that. Oh, it must have been 37. 27, 28. And back to Hinadi, where we did our usual sort of rushing around, mostly up into northern Iraq, where the Kurds were being a bit spiteful. And doing a bit of evacuation up there.
Which squadron was this?
This was 70 squadron.
How did you get a permanent commission in the RAF?
Ah, well, that was a great stroke of luck. Because I was too old to specialise for a permanent commission. And there were a few given every year. For what reason, I don't know. But while I was in 70, I did quite a bit of flying from the communication flight. And finally, I started flying the AOC about. He had a nice 9-ACK, which I liked, painted red. And I did a showing around in that with him. I was very sorry when he decided they had to change the aircraft. And they got a Whopperty for him, which was painted white. Oh, but it was all right. We did a bit of flying in that. And after, you see, Hinadi, or Iraq, in those days, was a two-year station. They reckoned 2 years is enough for anyone there. Well, I did 2 years, and I said, well, I told them I'd like to stay on because it suited me. There was plenty of flying, and plenty of sport, and it was right up my street. So I signed on for another 2 years, completed 4 years. And then I had to come home. They wouldn't extend any more, you see. So I came home, and I went sick. And I went to, where did I go? And I went to a specialist in Harley Street, because I was getting sort of, not pains, but tingling in the belly. And they found I'd got stones in the bladder. And they said, you know, what's happened? You've been out there for 4 years. You've taken a lot of exercise, because I did. I used to play a lot of games. So much so that you got dehydrated. And you didn't drink enough to make up for it. So that was all right. But I had the stones removed, and I was fit again. I was in hospital. I remember the Christmas of some time or other, I forget now. And I was beginning to wonder where the hell I was going to be posted. But I passed my medical all right. And then, to my delight, I was posted to the RAE as a test pilot. And that was great fun.
Why was it such great fun?
A lovely lot of different aeroplanes to fly. And very, very enjoyable.
I think you were at Farnborough from 33 to 37.
And longer than that, I think.
As a test pilot?
Yes. Well, I was a test pilot there for 4 years. That's right. And then I was posted, you see. Now the tour completed, I was posted to India.
Which kind of planes were you testing at Farnborough?
Oh, God, I can't quite remember offhand because of such a variety. I chalked up about 140 different types. And went to India to 60 Squadron at Kohat on the frontier, where they have operatives. And I did a tour with them on the frontier.
What kind of work were you doing?
Well, the whole thing there was the campaign against a fellow called the Fakir of Ypres, who was causing a bit of trouble on the frontier. And the job there was merely to upset their daily life with just flying over them and not doing any terrific damage. And that was all it was.
Did you drop any bombs?
Oh, yes, one did, just to announce one's presence.
What were you aiming at?
Well, there were no real targets. It's just announcing a presence there, you see. And they had a bloody good idea about air raid precautions, because they were in the hills, these fellas. And they would dig into the side of the hill, like a tunnel. That was the only target. And all we could do was to drop a few bombs along the valley, where they'd be going the 2 fingers vertical, because we couldn't fire or shoot into these tunnels. And that was that.
Did they try to shoot you down?
What?
Did they try to shoot you down?
No, no. No, there was no reaction at all. Well, they decided they were quite safe. Because a bomb exploding in the valley, that meant nothing to them.
How did you like flying the Wapiti?
Oh, I didn't mind. It's a bit different to the Farnborough assembly. And then I had a stroke of luck. Right, well, I got back to Cahart. And there was a fellow there named Bull Williams, I think it was. He was the CEO of what they called the Transport Flight. I think they had three Victorias. And these fellows were living out of suitcases the whole time. And Bull Williams was very worried because he was wondering where he was going to be posted. So his wife was down in Karachi. And when I got back that time to Kahat, I found that I was posted too. To Karachi as something or other, an adjutant or something. That didn't suit me entirely because it was an aircraft depot. And old Bull said, look, would you mind if I make some inquiries about the posting? Because he said, I'd like to go to Karachi. And he knew that I didn't want to go. So he organized this, and he went to Karachi and his wife as, I don't know, adjutant or something. And I took over the BT flight.
What does BT mean?
Bomber transport. On the same job, going up to the frontier to Minan Shah and dropping a few bombs.
On whom?
Well, in the same area, in the frontier area where the Fakir of Ipi was.
Which year was it that you took over the bomber transport flight, do you think?
I'm certain I haven't got any of my logbooks. I had the complete set of four here, but I think old Fern has got them all.